from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Here's the host for the most, and you never know what she's going to say because that's just the way I am, and that's why Cliff is always going, oh, my God, she's doing it again. Hi, Cliff.
Hi there. How are you this morning? Oh, I guess it's afternoon. I'm sorry. I just can't get over the fact this is not morning. I sit all morning waiting to talk to you and going to talk to you, and then all of a sudden when I'm actually going to do something, it's afternoon. So I don't know. I'm a little slow behind that. It's slow to give up on morning.
Yeah, a lot of people want to talk to me. Just a minute, officer. I'll be with you in a minute.
Well, you know, I spent so many years on the radio as a morning man. And I mean many, many, many years. I'm old. And it's just integrated into my mind that if I'm on the radio, it's morning.
Well, in terrestrial radio, too, the morning slot is the prime time slot, from what I understand. So if if you're the announcer, you got the morning show, you're doing good.
Well, I've usually had the morning show on almost every station I was on, except when I first started. That was way back when I was 20 years old, and I will admit I did an afternoon show and an evening show and an afternoon show for quite some time, about 2 or 3 years. But after that, I left and went to mornings at different places, and I've been in mornings almost all the time.
And now you're broadcasting to the world, offering your services and talent, including voiceover services. So if you ever need somebody to do your logo, Cliff can do it.
Well, interestingly enough, if you want to get right down to it, we're broadcasting to the world. So somewhere in the world, it's morning.
That's right. Details. And somewhere in the world, too, there's somebody that's actually going to pick up that telephone and... Or as Ray Taliaferro used to say, grab your instrument and call. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. I got the weirdest bug walking up my wall, but that's beside the point. Email is talk@krbnradio.com. And right now we're live, and you can join us in the chat room, too, on the Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN.
It's really too bad that we don't have a station that can reach up here that can take over all these KGO people, because we've lost KGO forever. I mean, it's there, but it's not doing the same thing. And it's really sad that all these talk radio people that were really good have been relegated to smaller stations now. We can't get them. I suppose I could get them if we went onto the network or online. They're probably all available online if you can find out what station they're at.
Well, and if somebody wants to give us, a bunch of money, what had happened is that KGO Radio San Francisco, San Francisco's number one station, for as long as I've been listening to them, which has been 20, 30 years. And Cumulus just took the... Yes?
Actually, they weren't number one. They were a big station. They were a monster station. They covered a lot of area, but they were very seldom number one.
Well, on the nighttime program, they were number one. But anyway, here or there. But the whole point is that they at nighttime... especially being an AM station, they reached out to a really large audience, and Cumulus came in and fired the majority of the talk shows hosts, which were, basically personalities, and turned it into an all-news station.
Well, yeah, I guess they did that.
Yeah.
Boring. They did a good job. They aren't even number one as an all-news station, so whatever. Anyway, things have changed. It's been a long time since I lived down there, so I know things have changed. But it's too bad that we don't. Well, I guess it's. I don't. In a way, I'm kind of mixed emotions here because I want more local stations, but I still want four or five of the big monster national stations every now and then we can have, and I don't want them to change.
Yeah, change is hard. Speaking of change, we're going to run some business here real quick, and then we're going to get into what we're going to talk about. We're going to touch on the presidential debates a little bit. We, as the U.S., outsourced, well, actually, we're kind of insourced, sending a rocket up to the International Space Station. Unemployment numbers, and Walmart's back in the news again. And
of course.
Of course. But also in the news, too, is cookies. Because we like our cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancing Dog Cookies, check them out at select stores in Lane County and online at www.dancingdogcookies.com. And as Cliff would say, go to page 2 to see the cookies. I just talked to Tom, by the way, the other day, and they are reworking their site, and they're going to be doing some improvements in their site. So it's a work in progress, but check them out. They're really kind of cool.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Now get back here. Go to work.
Yeah, really. Okay. So what do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's start off with the presidential debates. I'm going to admit it right up front, as much as I wanted to catch him, I have not had the opportunity to, but I have been listening to people talk about him on the road because, you know, as people know, I drive a truck for a living, and that takes up a lot of time. But apparently Obama, and I want to make a bumper sticker, and I was going to say this, it's somebody's going to do it, called Obama Bombed.
Well, I don't know what happened to Obama. I don't know that. He really looked like he was half asleep. That's true, he did. But he looked more like he was above all this. In other words, I'm the president of the United States. I shouldn't have to put up with all of this. I'm better than this. And that's what the impression that he gave me all through the debates, if you want to call it that debate. He spent the entire time calling Mitt Romney a liar. And that's exactly what he said. He said, you've been lying about this. There's nothing that I know of that Mitt Romney has lied about. Now, he has modified his opinion of what things are happening, and in other words, changed his mind, shall we say, as he goes along. And that's I don't find any problem with that. I find a person who is so stuck in their ways that they can't change with the times a problem. A person who can change their mind and change their ways is fine. This was supposedly about the budget as much as anything, as far as debate's concerned. The next one's going to be about world events, I guess. The one person I would believe about what's going to happen in the budget, how to do it, would be Mitt Romney, because he's been there, done that. President Obama has never produced anything that made money. He has never worked anywhere that made money. He has never worked at anything that accomplished anything, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if that's a good thing to say or not. That's kind of being nasty. But simply fact is that he just hasn't done that. And he spent 4 years in this position already and has not really accomplished a thing there. I mean, we are, you know, I will have to admit, I've looked around, and our unemployment rate is like 7.8, supposedly they say now, 8.1%, somewhere around in that vicinity. And for us, that's fairly high, especially considering probably about be about 11 or 12% if they count in the fact that many people have just given up, have just not bothered to tell anybody. They're just giving up, and that's kind of sad. I looked around, and I looked at other countries, and the unemployment rate in other countries is a lot different than ours. In fact, it sort of, I don't know if you want to say averages, about 10% most of the time. France is at 10.2%. United Kingdom is 8.1%. United States is 7.8%. But you gotta, if you want to pick out individual countries, Angola is 25%, for example, and so many of them are way up high. Egypt is 12.6%. Estonia is 10.2%. Japan. Oh, Japan is really low, 4.20. We'd love to be there. That's about what we're supposed to be, I guess. Kenya, if you want to get to these, I don't know that they're European Union, but Kenya is actually at 40% unemployment. That's half of the people of the country are unemployed. But then I think Kenya is a kind of a different situation than, I mean, half of the people are unemployed. They just live off the land, as far as I know. But it's the unemployment rate around the rest of the world is considerably higher than ours. Spain is 25%. Italy is 17, 18%. I mean, it's amazing. We're not doing that bad, but it's still bad for us. That's to our opinion. Germany's cleared out at 6.8%. That's better than we are. But it's getting better, as the old saying goes. We're a long ways from being well, but we're not too bad at this particular point in time. But that was the majority of the time was spent on that. And I don't know. Mitt Romney did fire. He was much, much more ambitious. He was much more involved. And I've never his whole attitude changed somewhat from what he had been. I think he had been like the month before or so. He's been letting it go. He's been letting things go to try to get people to think he's the underdog, and then he wanted to show up, showing that he's not. And
I think that he's done really good. I'm going to ask you, by the way, to go ahead and reconnect, because it even on the monitor it's good, but there's a little bit of pausing in there, but I mean it's tolerable. But if you can go ahead and just reconnect real quick, maybe we can just clean that up a little bit. So that's the thing about live radio, folks, and I'm in the main studio and Cliff is in a remote studio, but that's just the way it is, and depends on the computer god too. Which lately, last couple of weeks, right on the hour, 2 o'clock, has been disconnecting us. So I don't know. But yeah, as Cliff was saying, the debates, even Romney did kind of come out of the closet, so to speak, and has really shown he did good. He didn't put Obama down. He referred to Obama as the president, not putting the individual down. And he had more facts to point out, in addition to calling Obama on some of his policies, and also making the point that when a candidate is saying, and I've felt this a lot in even just as far as local candidacies going, when somebody's running for office again, they're going, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. We could make it a lot better than it was. Just give me the opportunity to do it. And the question I have, you just had a term. Why didn't you do it? And that's kind of what Romney put towards Obama. And I guess also because even Obama admits that he wasn't in his game, so to speak. And maybe a new product, too, as they're kind of teasing, is having the belt buckle teleprompter I mean, with today's technology, you can actually do that. But who knows? Maybe that's the way it was. But no, the blame Obama, or Obama calling names, making excuses, is something I think people are, we're tired of excuses. There are people that will blindly follow Obama to whatever. I mean, I agree with Romney. As an individual, Obama's a nice person. He really is. He's, in a lot of respects, he's funny. He carries himself, he carries himself well when he's in front of the teleprompter. And he'd probably do very good in voiceovers, but it's just everything else. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to defend the guy or put him down. It's just that in some respects, he's tried. And a lot of times it doesn't work. But I also think that he's trying to change the country, but trying to also go away from what made our country. We're not perfect, but we have our traditions, and we have the Constitution. And the Constitution, in my opinion, as I've said many times on this program, has been challenged a lot during this this presidency. In fact, I'll admit that I've read the Constitution before. I never really understood it, and I never really looked at it that closely until the last couple of years. But no, the debates between Obama and Romney, I think they were good. Again, I've only heard bits and pieces of it. I haven't had the time to really get in there and listen to it verbatim. I do plan on doing that sometime this week in my schedule. And but I'm looking forward to the next ones. I really am hoping that they're going to keep getting in there. And when somebody calls somebody a liar, like Cliff was saying earlier, when Obama's accusing Romney of being a liar, or vice versa for that matter, don't just say you're a liar. What's your proof? You're making the accusation. What is your proof? You know, there's enough name calling. There's enough, well, so-and-so wants to do this. Well, so-and-so never said that. So how do you know so-and-so wants to do this if they've never said it? But here's the thing, folks, is that as we're coming up in less than 30 days for the elections, that both candidates now have a record that you can go take a look at and make an opinion. You know, Obama's got the last 3.5, almost 4 years, and Romney, you know, has been governor. Romney has also ran a major corporation. Yes, he got criticized for Bain Capital, et cetera, but he has experience as a corporate CEO or corporate manager. And when you stop and think about it, the United States is one big corporation. You know, I've asked the question, is corporation a people? Yes, it is. It's made up of people. We need somebody that is going to be a leader that is primarily going to put the country's best interest at heart and first. We need to start standing up a little bit. We can't save the world. We've always said that. We cannot save the world. We can't be the world police all the time either, especially when our own infrastructure is falling apart. We're still losing businesses to overseas. In fact, I was just talking with an HR representative with a company this morning, and this is a small business, probably about 200 people in the Eugene area, and we're talking about taxes and everything. And it's just, and even based on my own experience, I used to own a business with 8 people, with 8 employees, and it's just darn expensive. And the regulations, the rules and everything, I've gotten so out of place, it's ridiculous. But when you look at the experience that other people have, look at, this is where Romney has. He's got the experience of being in business, managing a corporation, where Obama doesn't. And hopefully Cliff is back.
Not only that, he's done it successfully. That's the important thing. I don't know if it, well, I hate to say this because this is going to sound horribly terrible, but I don't know if Obama's done anything successfully. But Romney has successfully run a business. He's run corporation. He's run the Olympics. I mean, he's all done all of this successfully. I'm sure he's. In fact, I remember him saying something about a couple of times that he has failed at some things, but I don't know what they are right at the moment. But he's successful at almost anything he tries.
Right. And, you know, you hear constantly, well, whether it's a presidential candidate or mayoral, about they don't have experience. Well, everybody has to start somewhere. But what you're hopefully going to bring is life experience to the table. You're not going to – a president can't have experience as a president unless he's been a president before, but how are you going to get that? Well, what have you done in the past?
Well, that's the thing. Obama has done – he's young enough that he hasn't done much of anything in the past, except he was was he in the Senate? And a lot of the things that he's saying that are bad now, he voted for in the Senate. So, you look at his record, and it just isn't that great.
I agree. And also, I think what people are really getting tired of, too, and we still hear it, we even heard it in the news media after the debate, is people are getting tired of the race card. I mean, from my own experience, the last 10 years, like when I was working even in a major corporation, it was never talked about. It was like not that big a deal. I mean, I'm not belittling it. It's like nobody cared if you're of color or what race you are. Just, how do you get along? Are you a nice person? Are you a good person? Are you an ass? You know? It seemed like we've gotten all beyond that until recently.
In years easily at this particular point. We've really set it back quite a ways.
I agree. In fact, like they're saying, that even even this last debate, it's racist, mad black man. What?
Yeah. I don't know. It's too bad because, I don't know how you can be him and not do that. It's got to be mentioned in sometimes, and whether you like it or not.
Well, I understand that, we don't have the best background as far as the way we treat people. We have a history. Okay, I'm hoping things were getting better. I mean, we all have our own personal experiences, I guess is what I'm saying. But when you keep emphasizing that point, you're not helping the situation. Like you say, you're sending it backwards. You know, now and then you get to the point that political correctness has gotten so bad, you're afraid to even talk to a person for fear that they're going to. I mean, it's like when I worked for that large corporation, we would go in yearly and have a sensitivity training. And I've always been pretty much open anyways and wanted to put my foot in my mouth. And they were talking about sexual harassment. In fact, the name of this course was sexual harassment training. And the first thing that out of my mouth is, excuse me, is that how to prevent or how to? Yeah. So I got off to the wrong foot on that one. And then when they started coming out and saying, okay, here's an example. A woman shows up for work and she's wearing, a nice sweater, and you just want to go compliment her on the sweater. You just can't go up to her and say, hey, I like your sweater. That's sexual harassment. You have to go up and ask for permission. That's what gets to the extreme.
I'm sorry, but that's even worse yet. Hi, may I talk about your sweater? What? I mean, that's absurd. To go up and say, I like your sweater, that's fine. Or, it's a nice color or something like that. But, you're not, at that point, you're not commenting on how it fits necessarily, although that's to a certain extent what you're talking about, because that's how the sweater looks good. But, I mean, it's just getting to the ridiculous point that there's nothing that you can talk about nowadays.
Well, she did not say that you couldn't go up to this person and say, hey, your sweater looks like crap. I guess that's okay.
Really? Well, okay. Maybe that's, you know, that's what we were talking about the other day around here was the kids, and everything is degrading. Everything is demonstratively bad. And you know, when you're talking to each other, you're putting people down half the time more than you're being nice to them. And maybe that's why you can only, you know, you cannot walk up to a girl and compliment her on her sweater. So you got to say bad things, you know.
Yeah, and while we're on that topic, too, by the way, and the comedians point this out, if you don't want somebody to look at your butt, don't put advertisement on it.
Well, you've got me intrigued now. What are we talking about?
Oh, like some of the pants that or sweatpants that says hottie or cutie or whatever on the back, and it's like or something, you know, some type of wording. And you know, just like putting wearing a T-shirt that's got logos or something on, you know, somebody that's, you know, is going to read it. Well, if you don't want somebody to look at your butt, don't put something that's going to make people want to read what's on your butt. But I digress. Speaking of reading, how about giving us a call? 646-721-9887. See, I'll just slide right in there. 646-721-9887. And by the way, I want to give a quick shout-out to Lynn. He's a... been a regular emailer to the program, sending us a lot of good information, by the way. And yes, both Cliff and I do read that. And,
yes.
But I definitely wanted to thank Lynn on the air for doing that. We appreciate that. And, you know, if you have any information that you'd like to send or suggestions besides go away, you can send it to us at talk@krbnradio.com. And, you know, we'll even read some of your emails on the air, too. So we do greatly appreciate the emails and the comments, and keep them coming.
Yeah, and we'd like it even better if you'd call up on the phone and give them to them there. Give them to us there.
How do I do that?
Oh, 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. 9887 is the telephone number to call if you want to talk to us live and in person.
That's right. Now's the time to do it. When you're talking, when you're listening to the archives, all you can do is cuss at us and we can't hear you. Huh?
Yeah, you can send us an email, and like Robin says, you can tell us to go away. And we do consider all of the emails. How we consider them is another story entirely. We may just come back with all more fervor if you tell us to go away. And if you tell us to go away often, we may come back just even harder yet and do more, throw in another day or something. I don't know. We'll just add to it. But we'll consider it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got a bunch of stuff going on coming up in the future. You know, like last week's show, we simulcast the last 30 minutes with another blog talk host. And we may be doing more of that in the future, coordinating with that and doing what else we could do to make the show more entertaining and insightful. So, but again, your feedback is very important. And also, speaking of feedback, be sure to check out our website at krbnradio.com. Cliff has done a really good job on that and try to keep up on the information and stuff. And the archives are also available there. It goes back to show number one. If you want to go way back there and some of the other shows that we've done. And also one of the most important links that's been clicked on is a link to the Constitution. So check us out there, krbnradio.com.
Yeah, people like to look at that. Amazingly enough, it's so long, it is big, the Constitution. So I think people go back and just use it as a reference point more than anything, because people go back over and over and over again to... I'm sure they're not reading it in its entirety over and over again, but maybe making use of it to check different points to make their point. So we're happy to have it there and happy to make it available to you. So krbnradio.com, easy to remember.
That's right, and we're also very modest, too, as far as promoting ourselves. Anyways, moving right along. I'm looking forward to the. I think the vice presidential debates are this week.
Yep, that's coming up. Vice presidential debate coming up this week, and that'll be interesting because Joe Biden. I'm really looking forward to seeing him talk. The man opens his mouth. He comes up with good points. Sometimes he says something that's well foot and mouth. We all do that. But he's much more open, and he does it without teleprompters. That's, I think, the big thing that we had a problem with Mr. Obama, or President Obama, I suppose I should be better than that. He didn't have a teleprompter to work from. He couldn't work from a teleprompter. He was lost. He had to think about things. He had to make things up. He had to talk about things and try to make them not go wrong. And so the only way he could make sure that what he said couldn't be disproved or disavowed was to just go on the attack and just tell you that Romney lied. And that's not the way to do things, as far as I'm concerned. You've got to have enough information at your fingertips that you can accomplish something and say something, something that counts. And I don't think he really did. I think his big problem is that he doesn't write anything that he talks about. Any of his speeches that he gives, whether it happened to be, he reads from computer notes. And if he's lost those, you can tell. They've been putting a few times on I think it's Fox television, they've gone back and gotten excerpts from different speeches that he's made, and you can tell when he goes off the teleprompter, when he goes ad lib. And he makes some major mistakes when he goes to ad lib, and he doesn't do it very often, but when he does it, he really makes some goofs.
It's kind of like the old adage, my lines, what are my lines?
Well, he has lines, but he goes in there and adds to them, and most people can do that and do it successfully because they know what they're talking about. But the only thing he's an example of current day students because they can't say anything good about each other. They can only all they can do is cut each other down, and maybe that's his problem. He's young enough. That's he's got part of that in him, and that's the only way he can work. The only way he can talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I was saying, as you are resetting your connection, is that Obama's got he does good in front of the teleprompter. He's got a good radio voice, so to speak. He could probably do voiceovers. He's got a good personality. It's just that as far as everything else goes, maybe that's why he shows up on Letterman and The View and all that. He's auditioning for a job after this one.
Maybe. Well, the way he attempted this last debate, I would say he definitely should be auditioning for a job because he's going to need one very soon. He didn't. It was like he just came prepared to do that, came prepared to lose. I mean, it's really going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the next one, not the next debate. That's a vice presidential debate. I'm looking to that too, but to the next presidential debate. First of all, it's going to be about subjects that Obama should know more about and Romney should know less about. And so Romney's going to have to do his homework. And how much of his homework can he do? Because you can't, some of this stuff is secret, and you can't tell everybody about it, and you can't tell the presidential running mate, or running opponent, what do you call him, candidate, all that information. So I don't know how you prepare, if you're Romney, for that particular debate and that particular information, because it's got to be information that's generally accessible.
Well, that would kind of eliminate everything. It's like, okay, debate's on, candidate number one. You know, what do you think about this? I'm sorry, I can't talk about that.
Sorry.
What type of coffee do you like? Sorry, can't talk about that. It's classified. I want to show favorites.
Maybe he doesn't like coffee. Why do Mormons, can they drink coffee?
I don't know.
I think there's something in coffee and Coke that they can't do or something like that. I don't know. I think that's maybe, I don't know. I'm not too well versed.
Yeah, you know, if you start a coffee controversy in the news tonight, people want to know, can Mormons drink coffee? Film at 11.
I don't think much of any people would really care whether they could or not. As long as I can, then that's all I care about. I don't really care about whether other people can or not, or what kind they want or not.
Yeah, speaking of coffee and other things and news, Big Bird.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, there was a big thing about that. We're talking about the president and how he gets free taxi rides or free airplane rides to wherever he wants to go. Other people in the current regime get on free rides too. They take the airplane home. Like Leon Panetta, for example, flies home every weekend, and we pay for that. We buy his ticket home. Well, we don't actually. You know, one of the things I looked up different leaders in the world, the Western world, they ride commercial airlines when they go someplace. But our leaders don't. We give them a ride free of cost. And the suggestion was Leon Panetta, who basically gets a ride home every night. Next debate a candidate is to they decided maybe he could fly home on Big Bird's back. And save that money for the airplane that they give him every week. He goes home every weekend almost from he lives in, I guess, what, Denver or something like that, and he flies home free of charge. I'm just not for that. He can afford to, and first of all, he makes good money, so he could afford to pay the bill. And we still fly him home. You know, it's nice if you're. Well, I suppose we are a rich country, supposedly. I know we are at the moment, that's for sure.
Well, and we discussed this in a couple of programs back about how much money you spent. And it's like, dude, I don't know how long you've been Secretary of Defense, but generally when you're working somewhere that pays a little bit better, shouldn't you, like, maybe think about relocating?
Well, now, I don't blame these people for not relocating, because they're only going to be there for 4 years, possibly 8 years, and chances are they're going to change their jobs and they're going to get a job somewhere else. So I wouldn't relocate either, but you could at least take an apartment at where you are and not go back home every weekend. But then you want to go home and visit with your kids every weekend. But
yeah, but my coach. I mean, just according to CBS, let's see, this is dated April 6, 2012. It costs, because he takes an Air Force jet, it costs $32,000 per each trip.
At least.
And he reimburses the government about $630 for the round trip. So that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's according to the article. But like you said, he's every week. I mean, I'm sorry, dude, but you know, if you're going to be in that job, you need to move.
Well, the simple fact is they pay him enough in that job to be able to take that airplane home, and I mean, it wouldn't cost him probably $630 would be the amount it would cost him if he took a commercial jet. then let's take a commercial jet. But to take a $6,000 jet and reimburse the government for $600 of it, that's ridiculous. I mean, we're kind of losing on every one of these, and it isn't necessary. And I'm sure if they're doing it for him, they're doing it for other people as well. And we're not going to even go into how much it costs the president to fly someplace every time he does, because it's $100,000 or more. I mean, there's a huge amount of difference in, because they have to take a big plane to begin with, and they take a whole bunch of people with them, and et cetera. I mean, it's just so much expensive of everything you do, and we do it so often. I don't know, unless we're, well, see, again, if the president is out campaigning, I don't think he should be offered that jet free of charge. But we're doing it anyway.
You're not supposed to use it for personal use. By the way, just to kind of clarify, and again, this is from CBS, so I'll give credit where credit's due. It says the amount he pays is calculated by using a full fare coach trip, which would cost, according to the Pentagon, about $3,200 per flight to operate the small plane which he uses for the 10-hour round trip. And he says that the total detail by the defense officials laid out his reimbursements for the first time, showing that as of March 19th, Panetta had written checks to the Treasury totaling $17,000 for 27 round-trip flights. The total cost to the Pentagon is about as much as $860,000 based on average fuel and operating costs for his Air Force plane. So don't bitch and moan about perks.
Really. Well, I'll bitch and moan about perks, I'll tell you. I don't mind doing that at all. I'll bitch and moan for all of us.
Well, I do know that in the state of Oregon, when my father used to work for the state, that if he was driving around in one of those little cars that says State of Oregon official use only, if he would have got caught with an unauthorized passenger, like a family member, or doing anything else that's not state or government related, that he would get written up and would risk getting fired.
Yeah. Well, you know, states have a tendency to be a lot more stringent on the rules and regulations than the federal government, and it depends on what it is. I've been in experience like that. I one of my best friends when I was a young person, was chief of police, his son, and I remember walking home at night out there in the middle of the cold in the wintertime, and the snow was on the ground, and I was freezing to death, and I had a long ways to go, and the police chief would drive by, and he'd just wave at me and go on. He wouldn't offer me a ride because he was officially on duty, and he couldn't do that. I didn't expect him to do it. I was upset because he couldn't, but still, I stayed out there and froze my little toes off and did it all by myself, you know.
Yeah. Well, the point is, in trying to get back to topic, bringing up Big Bird, was during the, I believe it was the debate that Governor Romney was talking about ending the subsidy for Sesame Street, and of course bringing up Big Bird, and because the federal government accounts for 15% of the PBS's budget, and I mean, when you think about it, especially Sesame Street and whatnot, why not privatize it? You know, of course, don't put advertisement for Viagra there on that thing, but that wouldn't go over too good. But
put it other way, other places you can put it there. As far as Big Bird is concerned, as far as PBS is concerned, I agree. It should be taken, all government help for PBS should be removed. Although it's only 10% or 15%, it's not much, but still it adds up to a heck of a lot of money when you get right down to it. And let's face it, Big Bird is so popular right now that Big Bird could be bringing in money hand over fist. I mean, they're not... The idea is that I don't believe that the PBS people are losing money. They're making huge money. They're making good wages. They're making, you know, they've got this. I get really upset at any of these public broadcasting. I mean, you look in our community of Eugene by itself, there are like six radio stations on the air that are all public broadcasting. And that's just the basic stations. That's not the translators that make it available everywhere. But, I mean, there's huge money in that, and there doesn't need to be. They're all broadcasting the same thing, and just different stations broadcasting it at different times. And I don't think that's necessary. About half of that money could be let go. I mean, they could do just as well with one station in each community doing the same thing. So they could save a lot of money just by reining in what they're doing and putting all in one place. I mean, they're throwing money away hand over fist because it's given to them. And
that's right. And they should be focusing more on simulcasting our programs and putting us live on the air so we can be more direct linked to the community, which, by the way, 646-721-9887, 43 minutes remaining in the program. But now, like Cliff has said before in the past when we talked about government spending, public television is just a small drop in the bucket compared to the big picture, but it's just an example that Romney was giving on how we can tighten our belt. Same thing with giving money overseas. Small drop in the bucket per se, but a lot of small drops wind up filling up the bucket. And there are investments, but you can't buy friendship. I'm sorry. And also, just like with the stimulus package, they put the money out, but it wasn't tracked and accounted for to make sure it's supposed to go where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. We decide to fund so many things, but we don't pay attention to who does it and how they do it and what they do with their money once they've got it. I mean, why are we so stupid that we've decided, okay, we'll allot X amount of money for X job, and so we just hand it to you. Here you are. Go do it. Well, you could just simply put that money in your pocket. You don't have to go do it. And nobody knows because nobody follows up on anything hardly. Why don't we do that as a federal government? We don't have that money anymore to just hand out and give away and not worry about it. I mean, we've got to pay attention to what we're spending it on because we're finding too many places to spend it now. I mean, we're spending an awful lot of money. I mean, we could go through this whole budget thing and try again to calm it down. But I believe, I haven't read all of Romney's information that he has on his website. And you're right. Romney's information has changed a little bit from way back because he's been campaigning for office forever. He's had, 8 years of running for office. And so he has to have changed some things certainly somewhere along the line, and he has done so. So if you look at it, things have changed. But he's pretty careful about how he's detailed of what he wants to do. And I agree with him. His basic answer to, you're a liar, is that his point is he changes your mind. Things change. You know, situations change, everything changes, and you've got to change to fit the circumstance. You can't just sit there and be unchangeable or you'll no longer be accessible. I mean, you've got to make some changes sometimes. And I don't know.
Well, speaking of change, I made this point where you were resetting your connection, is one of the things that Romney told Obama during the debate, and I hear this even as far as local elections go, that when a candidate's running for a second term and they come out and they go, if you put me in office, I will do this. This needs to be fixed, and if you put me in, I can fix this. And like Romney pointed out, you just had 4 years. Why are you asking us to put you back into office so you can fix it? Why didn't you fix it?
Right. Exactly right. 4 years you've had to – see, Obama spent the first 2 years putting together his health care, whatever you want to call it, Obamacare, and not paying any attention to what anybody was doing or anything anybody was doing. And then he spent the last 2 years trying to make up for lost time as to what he didn't do the first 2 years, and he hasn't done that either. So consequently, we've had 4 years of him doing very little. He's tried to do a few things, but not to have them real successful. What he inherited a problem. We know that. But he's in 4 years, he should have had time to at least fix most of it. And we haven't fixed much of any of it at this particular point in time. And we've got a long ways to go. And at this time, I really feel that someone else could fix the problem faster and better than letting him have 4 more years of trying.
Well, I agree. Totally agree with you. And even if Romney gets in, we still should hold him to the fire. In fact, like I said, as a people, we need to learn from the last couple of years because, like, for example, one of the things that we're going to be dealing with if Obamacare doesn't get changed and we're going to get Romneycare in its place, which I have mixed feelings about that too, is I'm hoping at least Romney, because of his background, realizes where the money's coming from. I mean, like your point earlier about, you know, we give away this money to other countries and we just, you know, there's no checks and balance to it. There's no checks and balance to it because they don't have to get out and earn it. All they have to do is get together and pass a resolution and increase taxes to increase revenue. Well, just like Oregon found out a couple of years ago when we passed measures 56-57 that was supposed to be the quote cure-all for funding for the schools. Well, people went ahead and they passed it. Then the state's going, we miscalculated because there's not as many people or businesses in Oregon as there used to be, and so the sources for generating the revenue are gone. Well, right now, even though unemployment figures are lower, we're going to touch on that in just a minute, there are tons of people that are unemployed, underemployed, working several jobs. There are more people standing on the streets asking for money. I see people every day setting up little tents out of whatever they can make. I personally I've never been homeless. I came close to it. Last couple of years, I got to a point where, because the employment, everything's so expensive in the Eugene area, and income was so bad that I almost thought about standing on the street corner. Who knows? I would have made a lot more money. But one thing I wanted to touch on, speaking of the employment rates, is Obama's taking credit for the unemployment rate. By the way, this is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, decreased to 7.8% in September, with the employment payroll employment rising to 114,000. Well, as Cliff and I were discussing before the show, we're getting into Christmas. And so the extra help that the stores are doing, they're starting to hire and train their Christmas help.
Well, a combination of people hiring for Christmas help and at the moment, as well as a significant number of people have just given up. They just are finally dropping out of the whole fray and just giving up. There are a great many older people who, you know, the thing is, your retirement money has, most of it has based on the Wall Street, and Wall Street has lost you so much money. Well, it's come back a little. The thing is, you don't know if it's going to stay that way. You don't know if it's going to continue that way, because that's obviously very, very volatile. It could just simply go away overnight again. And so you got to be really careful with that and how much you want to depend on that. So that's the problem. We've got so many people who have just given up, just simply not bothering to look for a job at the moment at all. And we've got to do something about making a job available for them. And that's why I believe that we can rely on Romney to do that. He's made jobs for other people over the years, a great many people, because, you know, think about it. He's they talk about this Bain thing as though he spent a huge amount of money. He's got to have made more money than he lost in the Bain thing. Bain corporation or whatever you want to call it, because he was successful at it for a long time. And he didn't stop doing it. He only stopped doing it because he had something else in mind to do, and that was he jumps from, I guess what I'm trying to say is that he's not doing this for the money. This whole idea of being for president, he's not doing this for the money. He's doing this because he believes in America and because he believes he can help out and because he wants to. I mean, he doesn't need the money. We all know that at this particular point. We don't know how much money he has, I don't think. But we have a pretty good idea that it's so much money that he couldn't spend it if he wanted to. But the point is, he doesn't need the money. He's doing this because he cares about the country. Now, I don't think that's why Obama is there. Obama is there particularly in the beginning because he cared about making money, also because he wants to be a rock star. He likes the idea of going places and having huge crowds and people showing, falling down and bowing before him or something. I mean, not quite that, but it's almost that. He's not in it for the...
He's starstruck.
Yeah, yeah. And he is. And he was a little upset, I think, because on this particular debate that we had, the moderator sat there and told the people to not talk, not applaud, not laugh or anything like that. And he was upset. I think he was upset as much as of that, because he wants people to react to what he says. And when the people are not going to react, that's a kind of a real downer for him, I think.
Well, and also, I was just, as you were talking, just looking up online, because I was asking myself the question, first of all, why as a country are we borrowing money, especially as we're handing out lots of money? And so there's a website called chartsbin.com that's got a view of where we're borrowing money from. And, of course, China is the biggest one. With in May, 11.160 billion dollars. But the whole point is that we're giving away money, but yet we're borrowing money from other countries. I guess what I'm saying is that, for example, if I borrowed money from Cliff, even if it's just $20, and then I gave away 10 of it, and Cliff found out that that's what I'm doing. First of all, Cliff ain't going to loan me the $20 again, but he's going to be kind of upset.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is, we're going to be in real trouble soon, because China, their economy is slowing down. I saw a big thing about that on television where it's slowing way down, and they're not going to have the money to give to us. I believe they're spending. They're saving huge, huge amounts of money by selling us things. That's going to change, because they're not going to be spending a lot of time building big things, big factories and things here, because we're not going to let them, for one thing, but they're not going to have the money to do it. And this whole thing is this whole thing is not just the United States. It's a worldwide effect that's taking place. We've got other countries in every part of the world that are falling flat on their face. A few countries are doing well, but most of the world is hurting just as bad as we are, or worse than we are in some instances. And so we've got to consider that we've got to do this on our own. And to borrow money, you can't depend on the money to be there to borrow. Is what I'm saying. So that's why we've got to tighten up the economy. We've got to tighten up the spending budget and make sure we don't borrow more than we can pay for. And that's what we've been doing.
And like Leon Panetta, you know, some of us, like myself, for example, I put in an average of 60 to 70 hours a week at my job.
Plus
do the radio station here and plus anything else that goes along. And I'm not making that much money. In fact, we're barely breaking even. You know, but the whole point is, I guess what I'm saying is that, I mean, I'm fortunate to have a job, but it just annoys the heck out of me when we're, you know, struggling like this. Fees are going up. It's getting more and more expensive. In fact, and I haven't looked this up yet, and I'll see if I can get it real quick. Gas prices in California, from what I understand, reach $6 a gallon.
Yeah, it's generally about $4.99 a gallon. It's not that high. There are places where they're paying $6 a gallon. And there's another reason for that, though. There's a couple of reasons. One is they had a fire in one of the refineries, and it's been more than one fire. It's been a lot of problems they had in the refineries down there. That's why it's specifically the California area down there where the prices have gone so ridiculously high. As far as gasoline is concerned, they've had some major problems with the source, not the source, but supply of gasoline, and it's not been that way everywhere else. But it's gasoline is see, that's what I don't understand. It is not really based on supply, because they have so much gasoline in the world and so much storage of gasoline and so much that we shouldn't have to pay this kind of money. The only thing is they're doing it because they can. And so that's one of the things that we've got to stop, put a big stop to. We've got to get rid of this dependence on foreign oil and make it, that's what Romney wants to do. One of the things that Romney wants to do is he wants to open up the oil fields in the United States and use them. I mean, that's why we may as well use them, since we're using other people's now. The sooner or later we're going to end up using our own. But we need to change some ways of regulating things and some ways of doing things, so that we need to change where we're getting our oil from. You know, if we're going to put people to work, at least put our own people to work and take a chance on them instead of a chance on hundreds of countries around the world that are supplying us with gasoline.
Well, yeah, and although the government still refuses to admit that when gas prices got up to, you know, $4.55 a gallon, that kind of put us into a recession. According to Fox News here, a station in Long Beach, south of Los Angeles, had the highest price of gas there was $6.65 a gallon for regular. Now, it got to the point during the last price gouging, people are actually having to make a decision: am I going to buy food today or put fuel in the tank? Well, of course, the government's response to that is, well, you can take public transportation. That's not always practical, depending on where you're living, the time that you go to work, et cetera, et cetera.
That's true. But the other thing is, even the gas is getting so expensive, actually, crude oil, is that the service stations are closing. They're not going to pay that kind of money for gasoline and try to pass it along. They'll wait until it goes down, because they know it's going to go down. They know it's not going to stay up there. It's going to overall stay higher than it was last year, but not anywhere near that high. I mean, what's our average? The average gasoline price, I believe, is $3.97 at the moment, and it's not anywhere near as high as it is in California. And so the California prices are going to come down. There's no doubt about in anybody's mind, including the service stations there. They just close it and don't bother to buy anymore until it's down a little ways. And it's going to do that. I mean, if we stop buying the gasoline prices are going to come way down. Even the stuff that we're importing will come down, because they want to sell it.
Well, and let me ask you this question. How many small mom-and-pop fuel stations have you seen lately?
Oh, they're gone. They're gone entirely. I haven't seen Lordy Pete.
Yeah, that's because the EPA came in and was saying that the underground tanks that they had to be replaced, because the old metal tanks sometimes would leak, which creates an environmental hazard. But to repair the tanks was so cost prohibitive that a lot of the stations just closed. In fact, if you purchase the land, you have to get it EPA certified to make sure that the ground was not contaminated. And if it turns out it is contaminated, then, to my understanding, they have to actually scoop it all up and take it and have it specially processed, which is a very expensive thing. So the only thing that's left is the majors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you have left nowadays is just somebody that's big enough to be able to afford that sort of thing. And if you do go out and buy the property, you have to take the tanks out, whether they are leaking or not, you can't leave them there and have that property. So it costs you a lot of money to buy that property. That's why you'll find certain service stations and things like that that just go, they just close them and leave them. They just don't care. That isn't helping us either, because they're the ones that are going to sooner or later going to leak or do something that's going to cause a problem. And so it's a damned if you do, a damned if you don't situation almost.
That's right. 24 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Cliff, you wanted to touch a little bit on Walmart.
Oh, yeah, Walmart is doing a thing that I didn't know about. I just found out about this today. They're opening up some what they call Walmart Express stores. They're, little stores, 12,000 to 15,000 square feet. That's little as compared to the 108,000 square feet that their main stores usually are, and that's not even the big stores. They've got some big stores that are bigger than that, too. But they're going to open a whole bunch of them, small stores they consider, and it's about a... They're going to open up more than 624 of them around the country to start with, just to see how well they go. And they've opened a few of them, and they are doing very well. They said they had 10 of them. The first 10 express stores served as testers, and they turned in a really profitable first year to the Walmart Corporation. So now they're going to open a whole bunch more. So we're probably not going to get one because we're just in the process of making our medium-sized Walmart store bigger. So that's okay. That's in Cottage Grove. I don't know how many Walmart stores you may have in Eugene, but they're going to open a bunch of small stores to and you'd think that they – well, I guess no matter how much money you have, you always want more. So here they are, trying to get for more.
Speaking of opening up here, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. We got a caller coming in. I think this is hello, caller.
Is that me?
That's you. Welcome.
Okay. This is Robin and Cliff with the KRBN radio.
Yeah.
All right. This is Brian Lang with Live Truth Radio. I thought we had every Monday deal of calling in. I didn't hear you, so I figured out how to do a conference call. So I'm calling in to you guys. Did you guys not like what I was talking about or what I was saying last week?
No, we are running a little bit today, so we apologize. So yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. What's the subject matter today, guys?
Well, we're just talking about the fact that we just mentioned that we got some new Walmart stores opening up and how they never give up. They just never have enough. Now they're opening up their what they call express stores, their little stores, 12,000 to 15,000 square feet, as opposed to their normal stores, which are about 108,000 square feet. But it just seems to me like Walmart, it's about time for them to slow down and give up. Let other people have a chance for a change. What can we do to make Walmart sit back and let other people have a chance?
That's an interesting topic. Interesting topic. Walmart, you know, they're the big dogs. It's just like my aunt who had a pet supply store in Bluffton, Ohio here. She was doing just fine until these big dogs found out that she was doing so fine. They wanted to get her market share, so they moved in the area, and because of the great distribution that they have, they're able to lower their cost and put her out of business. So, you know, unless people just say screw it and start buying from their mom and pop stores, you know, the small businesses around, I don't believe that it can be done, you know, because they have all the power. They have all the money. They have all the advantages with them.
Well, the thing I think we could do is perhaps, as some we have done in some cases with different hardware stores and things like that, they join a co-op where they have a whole bunch of stores of the same kind put together so that they have then got that kind of buying power and they can sell things for less money than, or the same amount of money at least as Walmart. But then we've also got the idea that, you know, Walmart has everything. But these smaller stores with the smaller square footage, they're going to be a smaller store, and they're not going to have everything. So perhaps we can slow things down. I mean, how much money do you need? Walmart reported $3.7 billion profit for a quarter. That's not a year. That's $3.7 billion profit. That's not overall money made, but they made a profit of $3.7 billion for the quarter of 1 year ago.
Right.
Quarter. And that's that. How much money do you need to make? What are they doing with that kind of money? 3.7, that's what, $16 billion a year profit. And I don't know. I just can't conceive of anybody needing that kind of money.
Well, they aren't paying their employees very much, and they aren't giving them too much as far as medical either. You know, so they're saving a lot of money, and there's another way that they're saving money. And this is just a rumor that I heard, and I don't know it to be fact because I haven't looked into it that closely. But most Walmarts, whenever you see a Walmart pop up or any kind of Walmart anywhere, most of the time it is outside the city limits. Okay, they go right past the city limits, and they put up their store so they don't have to pay the city taxes.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's some of those things I find those are logical moves, and those are very educational moves because that's the way to do things, to save some money. But on the same token, I mean, how much money do you need to make every year? I mean, $16 billion, that's only a couple of people that are sharing in that, Helen and whatever his name is, Sam and Helen. I assume are still doing that, or it's not that many people. But, I mean, there's just a point where we've got to stop. Maybe you're right. Maybe we have to teach ourselves not to go there. I don't know. The new stores are not going to have the pharmacy and some of the conveniences that some of the other stores had, so they're going to be smaller. So maybe we just need to stop shopping there and need to – but – the other stores have got to come around and learn how to shop big enough or buy big enough so that they can bring their prices down. I mean, nobody's going to do to back off shopping at Walmart if they have to spend twice as much money to buy the same thing somewhere else. So they've got to be a little bit more on the equal footing before we're going to do that, before we're going to convince people to stop shopping there.
There will have to be some sort of sacrifice. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, I was just going to say that that's also the same reason why a lot of companies outsource, is that it's so darn expensive to have a business in the U.S. You know, the other companies like Kmart or Sears or whoever, they'd love to compete with a Walmart, but unless you are big enough to have that buying power, but we're going to go because we're poor. We're going to go to, you know, where it's cheaper, unfortunately.
Yeah, but that's what I was just going to say, though. All consumers are going to have to sacrifice one way or the other in order to take down Walmart. I mean, hey, think about it. Where are they getting all their stuff? You look at every one of their products. Do you see anything that's made in America? Most everything that they got in there, if you look in the bottom, you look in the tag that says where they're made, it's made in China upon slave labor. We have to do something. Maybe a week-long stay away from Walmart campaign or something like that. I don't know. But something's got to happen to where we can take down this monstrosity called Walmart. They are taking advantage of the slave labor. And, again, any business, I mean, I've said this, the reason why I say again is because I've said this time and time again on my show. Businesses, their main goal, all right, is to maximize their profits, and they will do anything. It does not matter who you are, where they are, or whatever. They will do everything and anything they can to maximize their profits, not being going over to China for slave labor or what have you. What is the best way for Americans? Do our leaders need to do something? What could our leaders do, I ask?
Well, I think our leaders can do a lot. One of the things, if we got changing of persons in the position, well, changing presidents, is that he could change the amount of Well, the way jobs are found, people are not, they've got to save as much money as they possibly can because nobody has any money at the moment. And if we had a little bit more money, we wouldn't mind spending a little bit more to get buy local or whatever it is. I know different communities, of course, spend a lot of money advertising the buy local thing and trying to convince people to do that. And it works to a certain extent, but you're going to get the world or the entire United States to buy a program like that. I don't know. It's really hard to convince people to change their ways.
Well, here's a thought. How about changing our government from being a ruling class to actually being down to where we are? I mean, like Jesse Ventura suggested one time, is you get rid of the federal income tax and change it over to a federal sales tax. He says the reason for doing that, now I'm opposed to sales taxes here in Oregon, you know, we've turned them down nine times. But after his explanation is, under the current system, the government gets your money before you do. And he says under a federal sales tax, that puts them more directly linked into the health of the economy. And that way you don't have Leon Panettas going and spending, you know, $800,000 just to go home every weekend. That's true. But anyways,
yeah, that is true.
Yeah, we got 13 minutes remaining in this program, and we're live with Brian Lang. And Brian, I want to get your thoughts real quick on what you think about the debates.
Oh my! you don't have enough time. I did a whole broadcast on Thursday right after the debate about it, my whole analysis. And for the first half of my broadcast, the first hour of my broadcast, I was laughing. And I put a video together with regards to that because it was my most live-watched broadcast ever of Live Truth Radio. And just because of that, I put a video together in regards to that. It has some comedy throughout the video. Like what I was saying is that Obama was looking around for his teleprompter, you know, and he was doing the rope-a-dope the whole time. But the rope wasn't roping and the dope wasn't doping. And, you know, stuff like that. It was comical to me the whole time. The whole debate was very comical. Romney trashed him. Romney absolutely slaughtered Obama, and I loved watching it. I'm not a Romney supporter. I am not a Romney supporter at all. I support somebody that is for the Constitution and for our Bill of Rights, somebody that actually believes in it and holds the oath to his heart. That's what I'm for. And Romney, at the end of the debate, after Obama stated that his main reason, you know, the main objective of being a president, his main thing is to protect and keep the American people safe. Well, I laughed at that just over what just happened in Libya. He knew what was going on in Libya. He knew that there was going to be something going on in Libya, and yet he did nothing. Okay? That was laughable. And then Romney come up and said that his main thing of being a president, his main staple, his main responsibility as being president of the United States was to protect and defend the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And I believe that he was saying that just to say that. I don't believe that he truly means that. That's my opinion. But, Romney slaughtered Obama, and I loved it. I love anybody to take Obama and put him in his place. I would love every American citizen to have an outright uproar over his birth certificate alone, which is a crime against the American people, and everything that he has done since he's been in presidency, once determined that he has not been a natural-born citizen, will be null and void once we get on board with that.
Okay,
but, there you go.
Something that something I've done a couple times on the program here is that it may be too little too late now, but why can't we learn from our mistakes and go, okay, the next president is going to have to prove that they have the right to work in the United States. But just like we got a friend that's a Lane County commissioner, and she was never asked to prove that she was a legal citizen.
Never.
Never.
And that's absolutely absurd, is it not?
You're requiring, they require ID for everything you do, and yet you can run for city office, state office, national office.
You see,
I can't get a driver's license unless I show my birth certificate.
Have you seen their advertisements, even here on Blog Talk Radio, the advertisements from the Obamas to register to vote? Have you seen them?
No.
I no.
Oh, you haven't? They're even on Blog Talk Radio. They have them up there where they're asking people to register online to vote for Obama. And you click on it, it takes you to their site to register, and it asks you just a few questions. It asks you, and I wrote them all down just so everybody would know, it asks you your first name, your last name, the title, Mr., Mrs., what have you, email, your zip code, your phone number, and then it asks you if you are, it says as a college student, or if you are a citizen. And then there's this little question mark next to I am a citizen that people have to click. You must be a citizen to vote in the U.S. elections. If you're not a citizen, you can still volunteer. And that was something to click on, the volunteer part. All right?
Right.
But, you know, there's no allocation there. Somebody can click that, I am a citizen. As far as I know, I didn't go any further than that. I didn't click I am a citizen, go further than that. But to me, by the looks of that, it just lets it open for anybody at all.
Well, and there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, that they made a YouTube video on, that they went into the polling place and they asked at the table, they said, do you have an Eric Holder on the list? And they went through the list, yeah, we do, and handed them the ballot. And he says, well, I need to go out to my car and get my ID. And said, oh, no, here you go. You know, just go ahead and do it. You know, the guy didn't say that he was Eric Holder. He was just saying, do you have an Eric Holder? And they were going to let him vote as Eric Holder.
Just because he said that he was Eric Holder.
No, he didn't say he was Eric Holder. He just said, do you have an Eric Holder on the list?
And then he assumed that he was.
Right.
That's what... 90% of all of this stuff can be assumed. It's amazing. I used to do this a lot, but it's amazing what you can get away with if you just pretend like you're doing something and never really say anything wrong, never say anything the wrong way, never try to imply that you're anything other than who you are. But you can get away with an awful lot of things in a lot of places.
And the whole point, the reason why this guy did this, because Eric Holder was saying that there's no fraud in the voting.
Oh, my.
Yeah, right. I used to run around and all the time when I was in the military, and I could get away with anything in the military with a clipboard, because if I had a clipboard, I was obviously legitimate.
You looked important with a clipboard. Right.
Yep. Yep.
What makes me so sick, and I think I have on my broadcast today, and I'm going to be putting it on there for every day, a picture of drinking the Kool-Aid, you useful idiots. I mean, and it's Obama holding up a Kool-Aid pitcher. It just boggles my mind to know that these people support Obama and will continue to support Obama even after everything that he's done. And you know what? I don't think – you say it's too late. I don't think it's too late to get him off the ballot. If he is not a natural-born citizen, period, he's not a natural-born citizen. And once it is proven, absolutely proven – I mean, I think it has been, and we have the evidence to prove it.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything.
Why is it that he is allowed even on the ballot?
They're not going to do anything, because I think one state actually, might have been Arizona, was actually trying to question that. They're not going to do it because There's too much money and too much power involved. And besides that, it would be a huge embarrassment to the United States.
So what? So what? Obama has been a huge embarrassment to the United States.
Well, do you think who do you think is going to win this thing? Do you think it's leaning one way or the other at this particular point in time? I know it's a little early, really, to find out to make up your mind, but some people are actually voting this early. So, who do you think is going to win?
Well, I've said it before on my broadcast. You got to look at different signs. One being gas prices. If they go up. All right. If they go up instead of coming down before the election, I would think that the global elite and the global people, the people that are the ones to know and the ones that have the control that are pulling the strings, that if the gas goes up, that they don't want Obama and they want Romney. If the gas comes down, all right, then they definitely want Obama to stay in, and you can see that you can see all this happening by the facts that come through the news each and every day. You can see the footprints, you know, one way or the other. But that is my feeling. I personally don't care for either one. I want somebody, again, that believes in the Constitution, wears it on their heart each and every day. I want somebody in there, excuse me, that when they say the oath of office, that they truly mean what they are saying, and they hold that next to their heart each and every day. You, my friend, were in the service. You took an oath. All right? And
yes.
Everybody else out there that was in the service and is in the service now, and people that know through their heart what that oath is. And I still carry it on my heart each and every day. As I'm talking, as I'm on the radio program and out there with everybody else, you wear that on your heart. Each and every day.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here real quick. We're going to go ahead and run long on this program here. So it'll be recorded on the archive. So if you're on the phones listening, stay on the phones with us. We're going to extend it a little bit. Right now we are live with Brian Lang with Live Truth Radio, and you can catch his program daily and catch ours on Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. So again, if you're on the phones with us, stay with us, and we're going to go ahead and go in and extend this a little bit.
Yeah, let me finish what I was saying there, please. I appreciate that. You got a good show there. It brings up some great topics. KRBN News Talk Radio here on BlogTalkRadio.com. You got Cliff and Robin here, and what I want to finish this with is that you wear that oath on your heart each and every day to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic, all right? And a domestic enemy is one that has treasonous acts, that has unconstitutional acts, that goes against what America is all about. And that's what Obama has been, all right? And to put it clearer, Romney, during a debate, said that he would have voted for the National Defense Authorization Act. That, to me, put them together as one. As Matt, who I have in chat over here, and Matt has said on a previous broadcast that they are one body with two heads, okay? The Republican and the Democrats, and what they propose for America and what their agenda is for America, they're basically one body with two heads. And I agree totally because of what Romney said at that debate, that he would have voted for the National Defense Authorization Act. And if you have that on your heart, if you actually believe and you truly believe in that oath, even to this day you believe in that oath that you took while you joined the service to protect and defend the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic, then you would know that the domestic enemies are those that voted for the National Defense Authorization Act, the ones that signed it into law, and ones that, like Romney, had said that they would voted for the National Defense Authorization Act. Because in long form, the National Defense Authorization Act, those who voted for it and signed it into law and wanted it into law have committed a treasonous act.
Well, speaking of treason attack, let me ask you, since you have military experience, you can't protect the country with an open door.
No way.
And
that goes on to immigration.
Right.
Yeah, and Obama has done nothing except pursue the states that wish to abide by the immigration laws. You know, that again, to me, is a treasonous act because it's not upholding and protecting the Constitution of the United States, and it's not defending the Constitution of the United States. You know.
And what's the technical definition of an invasion?
What's the technical definition of an invasion? We've been invaded. Bottom line, we've been invaded. We've been invaded by immigrants for a long, long time. And we've been paying for them for a long, long time. And we need to do something about it. And I got in chat here, an attack on the Constitution is an act of terrorism. The NDAA is an act of terrorism. Succinctly put by Matt in my chat. And, you know, a lot of people out there believe the same thing, and they wear that oath on their heart each and every day. Cliff, do you wear that oath on your heart each and every day?
I am so old that I have forgotten. I
oh,
don't
man,
know.
You ain't that old.
I'm that old, believe me. I've forgotten all about it. I try to live my day by day and live what's going on in the current time. I don't know that what I signed or felt when it's been a long time since I even read it and don't know what it says anymore. But the thing is, what do you think Romney is doing this? If he's not doing it for the better of the country, why is he running like this campaign?
Why is he running this campaign? Why do you think he's been propped up as the presidential candidate for the Republican Party?
Because they have to bring that down to one person. They can't go along and print.
I understand that, but do you actually believe that he won any of the debates of the Republican debates?
No, but he didn't. I don't believe all of them, but I don't know who. As far as I'm concerned, is at this particular point, the only reason he's where he is because he had the money. And that's all I can think of is where he is, because I know different. Well, he is not the least. Go ahead.
Well, just on that, what you just said, because he had the money. Think about it, folks. Who funds both? Corporate entities, special interests, banks, the bankers. All these different people have funneled tons of money into both campaigns. And matter of fact, they crisscross. They adjoin. They are the same as far as funneling money into both campaigns. The only one that isn't the same is George Soros. All right? But just in that fact, where you get the corporate interests, you get the special interests, you get the bankers, you know who they're working for. You know, if I get a paycheck from somebody, a company, a corporation, whomever, you sign it and you put it into your bank account, that means you got that check from that company and that's who you're working for. They are working for them. That's who got them in. And you look at the rest of the crew, which is the Libertarian and the Constitution Party, which I urge everybody to look to these, to know what they're about, what they stand for, because there are two other parties that are running for the presidential, the presidency of the United States. You know, it's not just the Republican and Democrat. That's what has been ruining our country. Both parties have ruined our country throughout time. Mm-hmm. But Obama has taken it to a new level.
Well, you make a good, and that's what gets back down to it doesn't do any good for a third party to run because of the Electoral College. And has a third party candidate ever made it as a president or made it in high office?
We would have to go back almost 200 years, I would think, you know, when it wasn't Republican and wasn't Democrat, when it was Whigs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, there was other parties, folks. And the thing of the matter is that both of these parties have been ruining this country, and they do not. Through the past years, the most recent years, you could see it with what they have done. They have not supported its citizens at all. You know, they have not done what is righteous for the citizens of America at all. I mean, think about it.
Well, one of the things I really hate about this two-party system that we have is I get so tired of going, well, we got to reach out to the other side of the aisle, and we got to work together, and we got to do this. It's like, excuse me, you're not trying to talk to a foreign country here. You are there for one reason only, and that is to support and the primary focus of our country. You know, you guys are there not to become millionaires. You're there to represent us for the well-being of the U.S.
And it's citizens.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
I disagree. Half of them are not there for that. Half of them are there to line their own pocket. And that's what we've got to do something about, is changing the impetus on that. We've got to change the way we fund these campaigns and the way we fund these elections and the way we control these elections. We've got to change the reason for people being there. And that's why I think I would probably be more for Obama or for Romney rather than Obama, because Romney doesn't need the money. He doesn't need to take the responsibility of running the free world because he doesn't have anything else to do. He's doing it because he believes in the country, and more than anybody who's helped out. The only other person that there have been a couple of other people that were on the Republican side of the party, but they didn't get the votes. Simple as that.
Well, I don't want to declare that all throughout the United States there was fraud everywhere, but there was definitely fraud within the Republican choices, within the Republican primary. There was definitely fraud. It's been proven to be fraud in not just one, not just two, but several states, okay? There was fraud that occurred, okay? And with that said, that just goes to boast what I was saying before, that you could tell just by even your words yourself. You said that you didn't think Romney won any of those debates. Well, if a guy does not win a debate, if he's weak during debates, and if he's the weakest candidate during the debates, which I declare he was the weakest candidate, how is it that he moved forward? How is it that he kept on being propped up and put forward? There was fraud in several states. These people have it under their thumb. They have the whole system under their thumb. I'm not saying that there was not people out there that supported Romney. I'm sure there was. But I don't think, and this is my thoughts only, all right? I don't think that he won like he did. They even showed it at the Republican National Convention. Why else do you think that every time a state was called, that they did not name anybody else? Even if the other person had more delegates than Romney, they would still just declare Romney. They had it planned. They had it fixed. Huh?
That's not the case at all. I heard many times where they named other names.
You weren't. You could not have been watching the same one. The only time that I remember when I watched a considerable amount during while they were, casting their delegates. All right, state after state after state, when they had the numbers where they were they superseded Romney's numbers. When that lady up on the stage declared the numbers for a certain person, they only said Romney, even knowing either Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum, whomever, had more delegates than Romney, they would still just declare Romney's numbers. They didn't declare anybody else's except Minnesota, where Minnesota only had Ron Paul delegates. That's where they were going, was with Ron Paul, and they had nothing else to say. They could not say Romney when Romney didn't even get one delegation in Minnesota. And I laud Minnesota for that. I absolutely do laud Minnesota for looking into everything and knowing what's going on and who the better choice was. But the bottom line is that I find that statement to be completely wrong, Cliff, and I'm sorry to state that, but I watched it. Every time that they sat there and declared delegates for anybody.
I have no way of proving it, but I remember that totally differently. I do remember other names being mentioned from the podium and from that lady that was up there on the podium. I do know that there was a big controversy over Ron Paul because never was Ron Paul's name mentioned. But there were other names mentioned other than Romney when they had more votes for another candidate. There were very few.
I tell you what, it's probably on YouTube. You can go back and check it out, and I'll do the same between now and next Monday. And you can declare, the one lady said the different delegate numbers, okay? Then you have the second lady declaring only the numbers of Romney, as though he was the one that was pushed forward. You remember, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I you're right there because I didn't pay attention to the second lady. I remember just only one person. I wasn't
paying
attention.
It was the second lady that mattered. Basically, what she was there to do is declare the winner of the state. All right, but that's not what she did. Whenever another person actually had more delegates than Romney did, she would just take Romney's numbers and boast them out there. That, everything that you've seen with the election process of the Republican side, to me, it seemed like a sham. Everything that I witnessed, and then you had fraud in it to boot. And then at the RNC with what they tried, knowing that they had that Ron Paul, forget it. Again, I'll say that I was a Ron Paul supporter, but that's not where I'm at here. Where I'm at here is that if it was Rick Santorum, it was Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, it doesn't matter of who it was. If it was Rick Santorum that had five states and they knew that they had five states, if it was Newt Gingrich that had five states and they knew that he had the five states, and so on and so forth, they actually planned this where they wanted to make a rule change. Since it's five states and they knew Ron Paul had five states, they wanted to make it 10 states before you're being able to be on the ballot. That vote shot down. Then they tried eight states. But then they took away delegates from Ron Paul from different states. And that's when Maine left the RNC, is when they were taking away delegates of Ron Paul. To me, that's outright wrong. But they were doing all this to prop up their product being Romney. And I've said that time and time again. These are just products. It's the oligopoly being shown to everybody. Oligopoly of the two products, Republican and Democrat, that are being propped up for everybody to buy. They're selling either or, and that's all they're doing.
Well, I guess I just didn't simply pay as close attention as you did because I knew it was going to be those two people. It was not going to be anybody else, and so I just didn't pay attention and allowed them to do that sort of thing. I didn't find it a probable trouble because everybody knew that Romney was going to be the delegate, period. And I just simply accepted it. I mean, maybe I shouldn't.
But you know what? You know what? You just said it. I just simply accepted it. And that's what America has been geared to do, has been programmed to do. You know, whatever government does, you know, I'll just accept it. You know, Obama, he hasn't shown a birth certificate, and it's been proved to be that it's fraudulent and forged, the one that he presented last April. Oh, don't matter that he found out that a book was coming out called Where's the Birth Certificate? And that's the reason why he came out with that. And then right after he put out his birth certificate, oh, let's go into Libya, and we have all the news over there so everybody can be just have their minds put on something else so that they don't look into it any further. Let's just accept the fact that he put out a birth certificate, and that's that, you know, where it's absolutely true that it's been proven to be forged and fraudulent. How is that not an issue? How is that something that we as an American do not have outrage over? We have a president that is not an American citizen, not a natural-born citizen.
And why isn't there more outrage? Why isn't there more outrage over the president's involvement on Fast and Furious?
Absolutely, I've said that time and time again too. Why is there not any outrage over him putting an executive privilege on his buddy Eric Holder when? You know, the reason why he put that executive privilege on there is because everything came straight from the White House. That's why he put the executive privilege on his buddy, Eric Holder. He knew that the documents that he was going to divulge to the committee was directly relating him. That's why he put the executive privilege on there. People, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist here. You just have to have some common sense. All right?
Yeah, but by saying that, you're racist, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody called into my show declaring that last Sunday, I believe it was, when I had Eric Deaton on. Called in, and he was saying, why do you hate Obama so much? Listen, man, you don't even know me. You don't know my tons of black friends and Mexican friends. My Mexican friends that I used to stay with when I was a kid when I ran away. They were my second family. Some of my black friends were my second family. I love them dearly. I had just one die this last year. I cried over knowing about it. All right? You declare me a racist just because I bring up facts to you? I bring up truth to you? Get off my show. Absolutely
exactly.
Ignorant.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier in the program, a few years back before this presidency, I thought we'd outgrown that, at least in the companies that I've worked for. It wasn't that big of a deal. We never thought about it. Now all we hear is that if you disagree with somebody, you're racist. And I think that he's raised that ugly head again, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, the guy that called into my show, it was a Sunday, a week ago Sunday. The guy declared me to be racist, okay? And I was asking why he supports Obama. He could not come up with a straight answer. What he said was, Obama's done more for us than anybody else. I go, really? Are you serious? And then I said, come on, why do you support Obama? All right? And I asked him something, and comes back with, he hates those Zionist Jews. And I said, what? Doesn't that make you a racist to be sitting there saying that you hate the Zionist Jews? He goes, I absolutely hate the Zionist Jews. And that's when I had enough. I should get off my show. Get off my show. That right there is the epitome of reverse discrimination, reverse racism that you can have. He's sitting there declaring somebody else as being a racist, but yet he declares to the world on my show that he hates Zionist Jews. And I found out where he was calling from. It was Virginia, right outside of our capital.
Yeah, like you're saying, there's lack of patriotism, and also what's kind of annoying, too, is, I want my free Obama phone!
Yeah. Yeah. And doesn't that make you sick? Where is the outrage over it? Where is the outrage over all this? And that goes back to what Cliff was talking about earlier, about accepting. You know, that's what people are doing. We have a complacent, apathetic society here in America. And it's been inbred in us through many, many years of their training of the American people. You know?
Well,
everything.
The only way it's going to be. The only way it's going to be. Is by the entire economy and the entire United States economy falling apart. We're going to have to go through tremendous amounts of pain and agony before we're going to change any of that.
Well, exactly. And the question I was going to put out there regarding patriotism, especially as deluded as this country has gotten, and like you're saying, Brian, the attitudes, if going back to 9/11, you know, fast-forwarding to the 21st century to now, if this country is attacked, now I'm talking about boots on the ground here, how many people do you think will actually step up to the plate and help defend us?
Well, hey, I don't know, but it's getting there. There was a report of the past, and I have it in here in chat, when we were talking about the racist comment. Obama is more racist than most anyone else. And that, you know, that goes out from the Fox News video that was put out there by the Daily Caller of his words in Jeremiah Wright Church. But anyhow, going on to what you just said, there's been reports that 40,000 agents of Iran are waiting at our southern border to come in to either have dirty bombs or what have you. That's over a month and a half ago that report came out. Where is that in lamestream media news? Where is that informing Americans of what the hell is going on out there? 40,000. Then you have reports of terrorists being arrested down in Mexico. Well, hey, that goes on to what was reported earlier about the 40,000 troops of Iranian agents being down at our southern borders, you know, in the country down there waiting to come in. All right. And what do they want to do with us, Americans? What do they want to do with us, infidels? What is that? Chop off our heads, kill us in any way, shape, or form that they wish. But where is the outrage? Where is the outcry over everything, all that Obama has been doing? Where is it?
And then there's talk of that they, with that new UN agreement to take away our weapons.
What's that? I didn't ask you were...
That UN treaty that they're talking about that will limit how many guns you can have, how many you can purchase at one time, and other resolutions that are trying to take the weapons away from the citizens.
Yeah, the UN's arms treaty that Obama and Secretary Hillary Clinton... See, now, it didn't just start with Obama as far as that. President Clinton actually tried to work with the UN to do the same thing. Now that his wife is Secretary of State Clinton with Obama had been working with the UN to create that treaty. Actually, it was shot down, but they're trying even more again. They're trying to, like they did with Obamacare, put it inside the treaty of something else so that it just goes through. That's what I believe is going on now. The first one was the UN Arms Treaty that was just shot down recently, but they are trying something else, another treaty, so to speak, that I believe they're going to try it like they did Obamacare. You know, you have to read it before you have to pass it to see what's in it. You know, that's what they're going to try to do.
What people don't realize is saying, well, you know, we have the Second Amendment, which protects our gun rights. But a treaty, even though the Second Amendment will still be valid, but a treaty can, in a sense, supersede or put limitations on that Second Amendment.
I don't think they will. I don't think it makes any difference how many treaties you have or what you have in a treaty. It's going to make a difference as to how the people of the United States think. And people are not going to change their opinion, and they're not going to change their idea of the fact that they can have a gun if they want it. And if they want a gun, they're going to have it. It doesn't mean that everybody has a gun that's going to be killing people. That doesn't happen. It's just ridiculous to think the case.
But
so
here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen is that people right now, I'm sorry to say, you know, especially, you know, like I've said many times before, when you listen to old-time radio, where people are more patriotic. But if the government came in right now, today, you know, artillery on the streets, and went around collecting guns, yeah, you're going to get a few people that are going to hold out, but most of us are just going to be compliant and just hand them over.
Well, yeah, we're going to be compliant, or the military is going to come in and smack them down and take their guns like they did down in Katrina. I mean, yeah. You guys have seen the reports. The 70-year-old female that had a firearm had a pistol, and they went in and they smacked her down. A 70-year-old lady in Katrina. That's just one case. Another gentleman had a sign on his front porch, "I've got shotgun and my dog," just to deter those that wanted to pilfer his place, wanted to do some harm to him and his place. And the military, as they were going through, again, posse comitatus went out the door down in Katrina. So it's just a training for American people to be conditioned to military taking your guns. The guy had that sign. The military seen the sign. They said, "Well, we got to go get his gun." And they laughed about it. They went in. They got his gun. So he had no way to defend himself against any intruder at all. You know, exactly. It's just a conditioning. The police chief down there had a press conference. "We are going to take your guns, every gun there is that you got. We are going to take it." And they went out and they did it. Against posse comitatus, they threw it out the door, the posse comitatus, and went through the whole area where these people were just trying to defend themselves in their own homes. And they will do it again, folks, if you let them.
If you think that we're just boasting, go online, do research for FEMA, read what they have in there, especially as far as being able to declare a national emergency and be able to declare martial law. And if you don't think that it can't happen, you know, like Brian's saying, take a look. Well, folks, we're kind of running back to the gnats here, and I got to go to work. But again, we'll do it. Brian, again, I apologize for coming on late. It's been kind of a rough day. We'll hit it better next week. You want to go ahead and give yourself a quick plug?
No problem. This is Brian Lang with Live Truth Radio here on blogtalkradio.com, where I give you the truth, the reality underneath the honesty on each and every subject that is discussed each and every day, Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m., and once on Sunday. I will give you the truth, the reality underneath the honesty. For they say that they're being honest to you, but in reality, it's something completely different. So check it out when you have time.
It's just like the old joke about how do you know when a lawyer is lying? His lips are moving. But
Yep. And thanks. Why don't you give a plug on my site, and then I can go back to my radio broadcast and finish mine out. I still have over 30 minutes on my broadcast here. So why don't you give a plug, too?
Yeah, I appreciate it. This is Robin and Cliff. We broadcast every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, and we are just like Brian. We bring you the truth and opinion of what goes on in Oregon and in, around the nation, and we welcome, as always, your phone calls and emails, and particularly if you enjoy us simulcasting our programs together, we'd both like to know about that, and we plan on doing it again next week. So, again, Brian, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you. And God bless you. All right. You too. Folks,
right.
You got to hang up my phone. Hang up my phone, please, because I don't want to touch my phone because I don't know exactly if.
There we go. And it's all a learning process. And so, anyways, that was Brian from Live Truth Radio, and he's becoming a regular feature on the program. So again, if you like that, if you like doing that, let us know. Of course, we always like your feedback and emails anyways. And we're out of time. We went long on this week's program. And it just it happens, but that's okay. And Cliff, you got any final thoughts and words?
No, I'm pretty much honest.
All right. Well, again, we'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Again, I hope you'll join us. Give us a call, 646-721-9887. It's been a crazy week for us here, but we got the vice presidential debates coming up. Let us know what you think, And we'll catch you again next week, 1 p.m. Pacific. Remember us on Twitter, Facebook, and all the other fun stuff. Email talk@caribbeanradio.com. See you next time.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.